I think about this week, Cheryl and I went to a funeral of one of our really good dear friends down in Longview. And this man, he's only about 65 years old, but he was a great man of faith. And he just knew that miracles would bring his whole family to Jesus, because he had four sons, only one of them serving God, three of them not serving God. And they had a big get-together on some holiday, Thanksgiving or whatever it was, one year. And there was 30 or 40 people at their house, all family. And he was believing God that if he could do some kind of a miracle that these people would see, they would all be on their face before God and accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. And that was his heart. He wanted to see his whole family come to Christ. One of the things that Jack loved to tell was a story about when his grandson, Zach, was there and they were playing out in the yard, and how that one of Zach's uncles was playing with him out in the yard. And he went out there and he reached down and got him by the ankles and he picked him up and started slinging him around like this. Well, first of all, when you start slinging people around, guess what happens to you? You get dizzy. That's right. And usually it don't take but three or four or five rounds and you're, you know, staggering around. He was slinging the little boy around, and how fast do you think he would be slinging him to hold him straight out? Pretty fast, right? I mean, you're going around like this, right? Man, that's moving. And at the end of a circle where he's at, that's moving, let me tell you. The uncle got dizzy and got a little too close, and little Zach's eyeball hit the trailer hitch on the pickup. Sound like it busted his skull. Kaboom! And of course, he started screaming naturally. So they immediately sewed a towel around his face and carried him into the bathroom. And of course, Jack, the grandfather, as soon as he heard what happened, he's a great man of faith. He ran in there in the bathroom where they had him wrapped up in a towel. It was his head. And put his hand, he just leaned down right over the top of him and began to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus. Now, this is a man of faith. This is where we all should live. This is what faith is. He understood his covenant with God. He was a great man of faith. And he laid his hands on it and began to call God in remembrance of those promises. He began to quote those promises. Now, this is where his faith was. Father, in the name of Jesus, you said I could ask anything. I'm your son. So when I take my hands off of Zach, I don't even want a bruise on his face. I don't want a red mark. I want his eye to be perfect, and I want there to be no pain in the name of Jesus. Now, did God say we could ask for those kind of things? So why is it so few of us believe whenever we come to a time of our faith being tested? He said, I took my hands off him. I said, take the towel off of him. I guarantee he's healed in the name of Jesus. Wow, does that sound like faith? They took the towel off of Zach, and he turned up and looked up, and he said, Thurman, as God is my witness, his eye was perfect, and it wasn't even a bruise. What kind of faith does it take to make something like that work? You got to have a man that has spent time in God's Word, and it's got to be in here. But he knew it was in there. He said, I knew my entire family. When I turned little Zach up and looked in his eyes, it was perfect. I said, oh, glory to God in the highest. Thank you, Lord. My entire family saw this. They all know it. They'll all be on their face repenting and accepting you as Lord and Savior. And guess what? Nobody accepted Jesus. It was just a fluke. It wasn't his prayer that changed things. How dumb can we be, huh? But Jack loved to tell that story. In fact, 3 weeks ago on Sunday, standing right there, he told me that story one more time. And of course, I told that story at his funeral. I said, you know, you people here, he had four sons, three of them serving God, one of them serving God, three of them not serving God. I said, you men, you fathers, you guys have no idea how lucky you are to have been raised in a family with a dad and a granddad that has that kind of faith with God. I said, Jack's heart is he wants every one of you to know him like he knew him. I said, if Jack could come back from heaven today, I said, I know if he could stand here where I am, one last word, he would say, boys, whatever y'all do, put Jesus Christ first in your life. That would be his desire for his sons. One of them is, but three of them's not. And of course, the three that's not, you know, they got children too, and so they're not taking their kids to church. But I will have to say, when they were at Grandma and Granddaddy's house, they learned about Jesus. Because Jack was a man of faith. You can't show me a man that can get God to do a miracle like that that's not tuned into him pretty close. Would you agree with that, Jack? In fact, this Jack, sitting right here on the third row back, he come in and the first thing he had to say to me while he was, look at my hands. Tell him what was wrong with your hands, Jack.
Well, I had a ganglioma on my left hand. It's as big as the last digit on my finger. It's a big, ugly knot. I had it for 40 years. And Thurman and I started praying for it. Thurman prayed for it a couple of times. I prayed for it lots of times. And cast the demons from hell that were causing it out of there many times. And one day it went away.
Amen. You don't never give up, do you, Jack? Hold it close.
You mentioned Joplin, Missouri, and yeah. I've been there for about the last month and a half. And it is devastating, but there is something very unusual that happened there. There was a big shopping center, strip center, parallel to the road, about maybe a half a block or so off the road, you know, because they have a huge big parking lot.
Yeah.
And in this shopping center, there were three stores. And the last store was owned by a very wealthy man. He makes about $300 or $400 million a year.
Wow.
And he has no insurance on any of his stores, and he owns them all outright because he said, I'm as big as an insurance company, so yeah. Why do I need it? Well, the storm went through there devastated like I've never seen before, and I do this kind of business, so it seemed like all the stores in that shopping center were devastated except his, and he didn't lose a beat. It didn't close one day.
Is that right?
Didn't lose any merchandise. The roof went off of it, and the doors just rained in the other stores.
But his didn't have no damage.
His name is David Green, and it's Hobby Lobby.
Hobby Lobby. Wow. Now, let me tell you a little story about Hobby Lobby, since he just said that. When I spoke at the Bill Gothard conference, Bill himself told me this story about this magnificent place they got down there. It had 25 beautiful homes on it. It was, I forget how many hundred acres of land, had its own airport, its own hangar, had several buildings with thousands of square feet in these buildings. And it was appraised at like $40 million. Well, it belonged to another church organization that when the main leader of that died, the church began to fall apart. So they tried to sell this place. And they had it appraised and $40 million. And, of course, you know, they didn't have a single buyer, so they lowered the price to $20 million and didn't have a single buyer, not one. And so they finally lowered the price of it a little lower than that, like $15 million or whatever it was, and still ain't nobody looking. Well, Bill's, they found it. And he went in and talked to them, and he tried to buy it from them. And they said, well, how much money do you have? He said, when they said, we want $15 million, he said, well, I don't have nowhere close to $15 million. But he said, I'd like to have it for the ministry. And they said, well, how much money do you have? He said, $1 million. They said, we are not going to sell you this place for $1 million. And he said, well, that's all the money I got. And, you know, he's a big organization. He's got 2,000 people working in his ministry. So he's a big ministry. But anyway, he said he couldn't get the money together, and so he went to Hobby Lobby. And he talked to the man at Hobby Lobby. Now, Hobby Lobby does this for churches. They're always buying buildings and letting them have them. So Hobby Lobby come in, and they talk to these people, and they finally said, I tell you what we will do. We will give you $9 million for the place. And they said, okay, we'll take it. Since they had no offers whatsoever. Now, we've got a $40 million piece of property. They're going to buy it for $9 million. And He said, you have to have, they signed a contract that money had to be here by 4 o'clock on a Friday, like 2 weeks in advance, 2 weeks ahead or something like that. Well, in the meantime, there was some big wheel with one of these big football teams came down and heard about this, and they thought, this would make a great place for our football boys. And so they offered that organization $15 million. Now, they've already got a signed contract for $9 million. Well, they tried to get Bill to back out because they wanted the extra $6 million. And he said, no, we've got it bought. Hobby Lobby's got it bought. Well, they said, you have to have the money by 4 o'clock on Friday. And so at 2 o'clock on Friday, the money had not showed up. So Bill said, if we ever prayed, we prayed. And he said, about 15 minutes to 4, the courier come in with the check. And they paid them the $9 million. So Hobby Lobby came to Bill and said, okay, we bought it for $9 million. You said you had a million. And they said, he said, yes, we have a million. He said, it needs renovating very bad. So y'all go in and spend your million, and you renovate the place and bring it up to standards that you want so you can use it. All the houses that need to be fixed. There was 25 beautiful 3- and 4-bedroom homes. I stayed in one when I was down there. And they renovated everything. They spent the million. And then after 1 year, Hobby Lobby gave Bill the whole property for a $1 bill. And you want to know why? The man is successful. We know why he's successful, don't we, Jack? See, the scripture, in fact, I want to finish this right here on Paul, and then I want to go to Psalms 1. It says, I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled many weary miles. I have faced danger from flooded rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the stormy seas. And I faced danger from men who claim to be Christians but are not. Verse 27. Now, there's a few people in the world today that claim to be Christians that are not.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled, Get Over It, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and post-paid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and post-paid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.